From God's Word this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning reading at verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. Yea, and we have been found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Jesus, whom if He raised not up, if so be that the dead raised not. For if the dead raised not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and you are yet in your sins. Then they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of His precious and eternal Word. You wouldn't think that Paul would need to write this letter to this church. I mean, after all, they had an apostle for their founder and pastor. Paul was the founder of the Corinthian church, was the pastor of the Corinthian church until he left and then sent letters back to guide him and to direct him. And this is the church that he said, you know, sometimes we talk about spiritual gifts and all those things. He says to the Corinthian church, you come behind in no spiritual gift. How'd you like to be a part of that church? A church that comes behind in no spiritual gift. Yet you have two letters, and we know there's a third from reading between the lines here. We have two letters in the Bible to the Corinthian church, and the letters are there because this church has problems. I mean, it has big problems. I mean, we talk about, oh, what it would have been to live in the apostolic church, what it would have been like to live during the days of the apostles. Well, I can tell you, they had problems in the church during the days of the apostles. Some problems that we have never had. And I thought we'd had every problem everybody had ever had. But some problems they never had. They had one guy in the church that had his daddy's wife, and he took her to be his wife. Well, that caused a wrinkle in everything that was going on in the church, didn't it? And it caused a lot of trouble and heartache and discussion and confusion. And they were petty and they were divisive, and they were all of these things that tear churches up. They did at Corinth, all of them. And Paul had to write letter after letter after letter to tell them, straighten up, guys, get this thing right, do what you're supposed to do, walk the way you're supposed to walk. And he told them all the things they needed. Now, his reason for writing, basically, and we owe the Corinthians, you're almost glad that they had all the problems they had. We shouldn't be, but we're almost glad. Why? Because if they had all the problems they had, we wouldn't be reading all the good stuff we're reading in 1st and 2nd Corinthians. But the truth is, he took care of their divisions. One said, well, I'm going to stick with Paul. And the other said, well, I believe Peter's the head apostle. And somebody else said, well, I'm with Apollos. He's got more education and he's intellectual. And the church was divided over preachers and over what they believed. The church was divided over discipline. And there was a lack of it. That was the problem. They just sort of let people live any way they wanted to live, and they didn't do anything about it. And then there was just plain difficulties, just all the things that plague anything where there's a whole bunch of human beings. And by the way, if you're looking for a church that has no problems in it and no divisions in it and no heartache in it and no hurt feelings in it, then die. Because that's the only time you're going to be in that church. Anytime there's a group of people working together, there are going to be human traits that come out, and we're all going to have to overcome each other. That's why Paul writes and says, forbear one another, forgive one another, all that kind of thing. And we have to learn to bear with one another. We have to learn that everything's not going our way. We have to learn all those things. These are the things that Paul was dealing with in the Corinthian church. But beyond that, he's dealing with unbelief. Now, sometimes we just say unbelief and say, well, you don't have faith enough to believe God's going to work. And we talk about unbelief that way. But this is disbelief. This is not just disbelief like you're saying, well, I believe the Corinthian church, we can get enough together, enough money to help out over here. We can get together enough to build something over here. And somebody say, well, I don't think we can do it. It's not that kind of unbelief. It's terrible unbelief. Within the body of the Corinthian church, there are people who are saying, and this isn't just endemic to Corinth, you have to understand this is 26 years after the resurrection. 26 years ago, Christ raised from the dead. And you would think, having had an apostle for their leader, having had an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that wouldn't quit, having had all of the gifts of the Spirit operating in their church, you'd think, hey, these guys are orthodox to the bone. These guys believe the truth no matter what. Well, the truth was, they had a division of unbelief going on in that church, and some people doubted there would ever be a resurrection of the dead. Some people doubted that we would ever resurrect from the dead. Now, worse than that, they also doubted that Jesus Christ himself ever raised from the dead. Now, can you believe that's a Christian church? Can you believe that's a New Testament church? Paul calls them brothers. If you go back to the beginning of the scripture and read it, he calls them his brothers. He counts them as Christians. The Spirit is moving among them. And yet you have people who are doubting that Christ literally raised from the dead. They doubt that Christ will bring us from the dead. And you say, well, that's just plain stupid. Who would believe that? Well, there are whole denominations in America with millions of adherents that state as part of their statement that Christ never actually died, that he just appeared to die and then came out of the grave, you know, the body just was taken away and God gave him another body, the one that could go to heaven with. They don't believe he really died. They don't believe he really resurrected. They don't believe that the apostles really saw the resurrected Christ. They just saw a prepared body that looked like him. Well, you say, people believe that? Why, yes. I had a man that I know had been touched by the Holy Ghost and filled with the Holy Ghost, told me one time, said, why, Christ is not coming again. And I mean within walking distance of where I'm standing, he told me that. He said, Christ is not really coming again. The only coming of Christ you'll ever see was the Holy Spirit when he came into your life. When the Holy Ghost came into you, that was the coming of Christ. Well, in a sense, that's true. But I can tell you, this same Jesus that you saw going away is coming again in like manner. Now, this is what's going on in the Corinthian church. These people have delved back into their Greek philosophy. Let me tell you something. We don't need the world to tell us what this means. Hello. You don't need the philosophers of the world, the thinkers of the world, to tell us what this means. This is God's word. It's self-evident. It speaks for itself. And God's there. Now, I know you're probably tired of hearing Easter messages. 1 week ago today, we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I hope that we celebrate it this morning by coming on the Lord's Day. I hope that when we go in the waters of baptism in a little bit and we bury people in the likeness of his death and raise them in the likeness of his resurrection, that we celebrate again the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But you know what? We put away the Easter baskets and the eggs, and we eat the ears off the chocolate bunnies, and we put away all the good Easter stuff and put it up. I carried a bag of Easter eggs this morning to the basement and put them away, a huge bag, till next year. So Easter's over, we put it away. I can tell you, 1 week after the resurrection, they hadn't forgot it. Let me tell you something. 26 years after the resurrection, the Apostle Paul had not forgot it. And I have to tell you something, that if you know Christ, and if you know who he is, the fact that he raised from the dead is the single most important fact of history. There's no empire or king or army or nation as important as the fact that Christ raised from the dead. And this is the whole thing Paul makes. It is a historical fact, Paul says, that Christ raised from the dead. It's what I preached, he says to the Corinthians, and it's what you believed. And you yourselves, he says, are evidence that Christ is alive. I mean, answer me this morning. If Jesus did not die and raise from the dead, if there is not the glory of the resurrection and the power of the resurrection in your life, what are you guys doing here? I mean, what's this all about this morning? If Christ is not alive, if Christ is not living, if we are not going to raise from the dead, then what are we doing here? If I don't have a hereafter to go to, and I assure you I do one way or the other, but if I'm just going to die like the puppy, if I'm just going to die like the fish in the ocean, and there's no hereafter, there's no resurrection, there's no eternal life, my body's not going to be resurrected, my spirit does not exist, if that's true, then what is all this church business about? What's this Bible business about? What's all this Ten Commandments stuff about? What's all the millions and millions of dollars that we spend to get the gospel out to the world? What's that all about? Paul says, I preach to you the gospel. I preach to you that Jesus Christ died. I preach to you he was buried. And I preach to you that on the third day he rose again. If that didn't happen, then why is there a church in Corinth? When you were all worshiping false gods and other gods, and you were all going in your heathen ways, and I came to Corinth and I preached the story of Christ crucified, dead, buried, and resurrected, and you were changed. You became new people. You're filled with the Holy Ghost. You have spiritual gifts. What's that all about if he didn't raise from the dead? What's the point of having a whole denomination of religion that doesn't believe in a resurrection of the dead? So Paul points them to the cross. Christ died. He points them to the cemetery. Christ was buried. He points them to the calendar. 3 days later, Christ resurrected from the dead. Religious people may not believe it, but I can tell you that the scribes, the Pharisees, and the priests, and the Sadducees did, because they said, set a watch on the tomb, put a seal on the tomb, because they're going to come and steal him away. He's going to say he resurrected. And after he resurrected and they heard about it, they said, we've got to get this shut up because it's going to spread everywhere. So they paid the keepers to swear that they went to sleep and didn't know what happened. Now that's a sad thing to talk about. So the question is, if there was no first Easter, if Christ did not raise from the dead, if he did not really die because they want to say he went into a catatonic trance on the cross, they took him down from the cross and laid him in the coolness of the tomb, and in the coolness of the tomb, he revived and came out. And I wonder if he doesn't have all this supernatural power, how he suddenly moved that big stone away from the front of the grave and got out. And what was that earthquake about anyway? And what was that angel coming down? What was that all about? But then that's what they do. You see, my friend, if Christ did not die and buried and resurrected, then Christ is a fake. If there is not a resurrection, then Christ is a fake. He's nothing. I mean, he's like Buddha or Muhammad. We know where Muhammad is. His body's over there in Arabia. We know exactly where it is. We know where Buddha is. We know where the religious leaders of the world are. But my friend, we know where Christ is too. He's at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. He has been ascended into glory. He raised from the dead. And Christ is not a fake. But if Christ did not raise from the dead, then what was all that preaching about that Effie Gilmer did when she came in here in 1932. What was all those people that were bootlegging and living in sin that came to that little church and knelt down at that altar and cried tears and repented? What was that all about? When the people from Clendenin went to Bington Mines in Pulaski and in that coal camp got up and preached on Christmas Eve that Jesus was alive and well and that he would save their soul. What were those 75 people in that coal camp doing at that altar, repenting and asking Christ to forgive them? Nettie Burton was a young woman when she went to that altar in the coal camp that night. And my friend, I preached her funeral when she was 90-some years old, and she was still shouting the victory and saying, Jesus is alive and well, and she was rejoicing in the Lord. But if Christ did not die and did not raise, then all this preaching is vain. And by the way, all the religious stuff you've been doing is for nothing. It's all vain. It's all for nothing if Christ did not rise from the dead. And the apostles, he says, are all liars. He said, we'd be found to be false witnesses. Because we told you that Christ died and rose from the grave. We told you that we saw him. Peter would say, I saw him. He appeared to me by myself. John would say, I looked in the tomb and he was not there. 500 people in Galilee would say, he appeared to us all at once. Twice in the upper room, the 12 apostles, or the 11 apostles, I suppose, at that point, would say he appeared in our midst, and he was there. You see, my friend, they knew he was alive. In fact, as John said, we saw him with our eyes, we touched him with our hands, we heard him and we saw him and we knew him. If Christ did not resurrect from the dead, the apostles are liars, but I can tell you something worse. If Christ did not resurrect from the dead, you are in your sins. You still have your sins. You're not forgiven. You're under the condemnation of eternity. If Christ did not resurrect from the dead, my friend, you have nothing. In fact is, if Christ did not resurrect from the dead, then what happens to us when we die? You know what he says? If Christ did not resurrect from the dead, our loved ones are what? Perished. I've been going around singing, over on the bright Elysian shores, where the howling tempests come no more, I'll meet you by the river some sweet day. I've been going around singing that for a couple weeks now, you know. I'll meet you by the river. Oh, yes, I'll meet you by the river. But that's a lie. If Christ did not rise from the dead, I'll never see Mother again. I'll never see Grandma again. I'll never see Polly again. I'll never see Sister Effie again. I'll never see anybody again. Our loved ones are perished if Christ did not rise from the dead. And yet we have all these people. Can you believe that? That's part of what's going on in the church at Corinth. They're questioning the resurrection of Christ, and they're questioning the resurrection of human beings. Well, if Christ didn't rise, obviously we aren't going to rise. If Christ did not have the power to come out of the grave, I can tell you old Lady Kendall's not going to have it. I'm a dead duck for eternity. But the truth is, my friend, Paul says in verse 19, if Christ did not rise, and if we do not rise, we are what? We are of all men most miserable. If only in this life we have hope. Wouldn't you hate to think that the only hope we have of Christ is we get to feel good once in a while when we come to church? I'm not taking anything away from the Holy Spirit. It's wonderful to feel good when you come to church. I got to dance this morning. When you're playing that good music and singing those good songs, man, that just thrills my heart. Still does after I've heard it for years. It still thrills me. It's wonderful. My spirit dances. But I have to tell you, if Christ did not rise, and if we're not going to rise from the dead, we're miserable. Why would Christians die, be burned at the stake, fed to the lions, staved through with spears, put in jail? I mean, our own people have been put in jail. Why would we go through that if there's not a resurrection, if there's not an eternity that we can go to? Well, the wonderful thing is that Paul says, but Christ did die. Now, he didn't pretend to die. He didn't go into a trance. Christ died. We know he died. He agonized. He had nails in his hands and his feet. But in the end, they placed a spear in his side to his heart and let out the water and the blood to be sure that he was dead. There was no doubt when they took him from the cross. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, they weren't just nobodies. They were two of the richest, most intelligent people and most powerful people in the land of Israel. And they physically in their hands took the dead body of Christ down from the cross. They knew he was dead. They wound him with spices and herbs in the tomb and laid him in the tomb on the slab and left him with the rock sealed to it. He would have suffocated. He would have died at any rate. But the truth is, my friend, Christ did die. And because he died, then my sins are not there anymore. Hallelujah. They've been paid for in full. Now, because he died and was buried, what else? 3 days later. 3 days later. He's been in the ground 3 days. Now, you say, well, he was embalmed. No, he just had spices wrapped around his body in the linen clothes. He was not embalmed. There was no such thing as embalming among the Jews. They don't even do it today. Don't believe in it, by the way. His body was going back to the earth. It was putrefying. He had been in there as long as Lazarus had. And Mary and Martha said, Lord, don't open the tomb, but now he stinketh. The body of Christ would have been decomposed. But the body of Christ did not decompose. Why? Because the Holy Ghost went in there and invigorated that body and raised him up. Christ died and Christ was buried. But 3 days later, Christ did raise from the dead. I mean, they saw him. Mary handled him and wrapped her arms around his feet. They watched him as he ate. They watched him as he cooked breakfast for them on the shores of Galilee. They talked to him for 40 days. He stayed among them, and for 40 days he walked in their midst and proved to them. And somebody said the first day he appeared that evening on Easter evening when he appeared in the room, they said, oh, it's a ghost. It's a ghost. It's a spirit. He said, a spirit has not flesh and bones as you see me have. Handle me and see. He could be touched. You say, I don't understand that. I don't either, but I'm glad it's true. My friend, the same Jesus that they took down from the cross and the same Jesus they laid in the tomb, hallelujah, is the same Jesus that resurrected on the third day. Got news for the devil. It's the same Jesus that's standing in heaven at the throne right now, and it's the same Jesus that's coming back again one day to take us home and to resurrect our vile bodies. Our spirits have already been redeemed, but the whole creation groans and travails in pain, even until now, waiting for what? The redemption of our bodies. There's going to be a resurrection. Human beings are going to live. Human beings are going to come out. No wonder Jesus said in John 14:9, what? Because I live, you shall live also. Because Jesus Christ raised from the dead, David Jimmy Doughty, brother Jimmy Doughty, is going to come out of the grave one day. And because Jesus lives, he's alive today and his spirit's with God. And you can say that for all of your loved ones, for any of your loved ones. If they're saved and know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, my friend, their spirit is with God. Their body is going to be resurrected. And don't say, I'll never see them again. That's not the truth. My friend, the truth is you will see them again. If you're saved and they're saved, you'll see them and know them, and they'll be known even as they are known. Because I live, you shall live also. And you know what? This fact that the apostles saw this changed everything in their life. In a minute, we're going to baptize some people as an emblem of his death, burial, and resurrection. And when we do this, we're going to sing a little song. And it's going to say, what a difference it made since the Lord came that day. Hallelujah. You remember what we used to sing sometimes? Some of us are old enough to remember singing, it's different now since Jesus saved my soul. It's different now since by his blood I'm whole. Old Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. Praise be unto God. And now as we close the service and as they come to sing, and we're singing more than anything, I've got to make it. And as we sing, those who are going to be baptized, if you will go to this side, there are dressing rooms there. And I'll go to this side and I'll dress, and then we'll do this wonderful act of baptism. Praise be unto God.